Hi, everyone.
I'm Pastor Paul. I'm here with my wife, Sue, and this is a time that we tackle your Bible questions, questions that you've sent in, and we're going to see what we can do about giving some answers today.
All right. Marcus says, I've been walking with the Lord for almost 2 years. I struggle with the idea that Adam's sin is forced on everyone else. How is it fair that God will judge us because of our sin when we never had a chance to not be sinners? Adam and Eve had a choice, but we don't since we are born into a life of sin. I would appreciate your insight on this.
Yeah.
Common question.
Yeah, it is a common question. We've heard it many times, haven't we? Mm-hmm. You know, Adam and Eve were our corporate representatives. They were created perfect. They were created without a sinful nature. They were put into a perfect environment. And they had fellowship with God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the idea that we could have done better, or I could have done better, or I didn't even get a chance to do better, mm-hmm. is a little bit of short-sightedness on our part and stir in just a little arrogance.
So you're saying if it had been Paul and Sue?
We would have done the same thing. Yeah. We would have fallen the same way, mm-hmm. absolutely. And I think that's something we all have to kind of come to terms with, mm-hmm. is that I wouldn't have done any better, you know, in that sort of a thing. And so we are judged as sinners because we understand that they were in a perfect environment and still gave in to the temptation. And so would we have, you know. So,
well, Marcus has a second question. As a newer Christian, I was wondering about what music to listen to. I struggle with addiction to secular rap music that has plenty of profanity and ungodly themes. I started listening to just the instrumentals of the songs to at least not take in the lyrics. I wonder what an instrumental of a rap song sounds like. But anyway, he says, I wonder if that's okay in the eyes of God, or should I just completely stop listening to all of this secular music? I'd appreciate your insight.
I really believe that this is a question that each person needs to ask and get an answer from the Holy Spirit. And what I mean by that is, are you under conviction when you listen to secular music? And if so, maybe the Lord is speaking to you, because this is not a one-size-fits-all sort of an issue. I think that there are people who can listen to secular music and essentially be kind of untouched or uninfluenced, for lack of a better word, by it. And I think there are others who just can't. You know, different Christians have different levels and areas that are a potential harm to them. Mm-hmm. And so it's really up to the Holy Spirit to how he speaks to you. If he tells you to stick to worship music and Christian themed music, then do that.
Yeah.
If you have liberty, you know, to do something else, then, you know, that's what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians. All things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial for me. Mm-hmm. And there are some people for whom listening to secular music is not beneficial. And there are others who have the liberty to do it without being affected negatively. And we need to be careful not to create a situation where if the Holy Spirit tells me not to do it, then that means it's wrong for everybody.
Right.
You know, no, not necessarily. It just means that's for you. That was what the Holy Spirit told you.
Right. Okay. Our next question is from Sue. And she said, where did celebrating Christmas come from? And also, was Jesus born in a stable, which is portrayed every Christmas?
Well, celebrating Christmas came from believers wanting to celebrate the birth of Christ. And they picked a day. Mm-hmm. And whether or not December 25th is the day isn't an issue. It isn't really even a question, because we don't know the day. We don't know the day that our Lord was born. And yet it's okay to pick a day and just to say, hey, you know what? We're gonna call this the birthday of our Lord, and we're going to celebrate. And that's how it got started. People genuinely recognized that God's gift to us in the person of his son was significant enough that we should take time to mark that day. Yeah. I mean, it's as simple as that, right? As far as Jesus being born in a stable, the Bible doesn't say that. It simply, you know, in Luke's gospel account, you know, it simply says that she gave birth to her firstborn and she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Mm-hmm. Well, manger is another word for feeding trough. So it is our assumption that it was some kind of a barn, shed, maybe even a cave. And that's where, you know, Jesus was born. It's also, I mean, if there was a manger, it's logical to assume there may have even been animals present. Mm-hmm. You know, we look at manger scenes today and there's the lambs and the oxen or whatever.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. And were they there? We're not told. Mm-hmm. But we're told that that Mary laid him in a feeding trough. Mm-hmm. So that gives you, and we know that the inn was full. We know that. So that's where he was born.
Right.
We're not told. Stable, cave, barn.
That's what we do know.
Yeah.
And then Grace has a question about Exodus. I'm going through Exodus, and my question is, why did God want everything to be made in gold and other specific colors?
Well, gold is a precious metal, and it has always carried a connotation, you know, of that very idea, you know, kingly, royal. Even under Solomon's glorious reign, gold, you know, became commonplace. Silver, we're told, became like stones. Mm-hmm. And gold was even common because that just, again, speaks of the gloriousness of his reign. And so we're going to see that, you know, in the renewed Jerusalem and heaven's, you know, details. As far as, you know, other colors, you know, they usually those colors go along with precious gems.
Right.
And those have very specific meanings. And some of them we know about and some of them we don't. But there are those different gems relate to things, mm-hmm. relate to various truths. And it'll be fascinating to learn all about them one day.
Sure.
Because yeah, I don't think anything was random, you know, right. in God's economy. And so it'll be interesting to see how all those things play out.
Right. Baha says, why can't someone simply open the Bible and start reading without praying first and still consider it a quiet time with God?
There's obviously a story behind
this. There must be, yes.
I mean, somebody obviously told this person
that you can't do that.
Yeah, quiet time always begins with prayer. And then you open your Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, people make rules because they think maybe it works for them.
Sure.
And so because it works for them, they assume this is the right way. Mm-hmm. And everybody's kind of got to do it that way. I would tell this person, hey, you have your quiet time the way the Lord prompts you to have your quiet time. And if that means opening up your Bible and reading first and then praying later about what you've read.
And if that means listening to your Bible instead of reading it with your eyes, then you do it that way.
That's a good point.
You know, some people are just much more auditory.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's true. Do it your way. You know,
best not to have too many rules.
That's right. You know, I've said many times when it comes to devotions and prayer time and stuff like that, do it in a way that works for you. Far better to do it that way than to try to fit into somebody's mold and have it not work and you get frustrated and give up.
Courtney says, thank you for your ministry. It's blessed me and helped me grow in my faith. If a person truly believes that Jesus is Lord and Savior and has prayed the sinner's prayer, but has not yet begun to actively pursue the Lord through reading scripture, prayer, or fellowship with the local church, are they born again and do they possess the Holy Spirit?
Well, you know, it's interesting that Courtney begins by saying, if a person truly believes that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. In other words, has accepted him as their Savior. And then she goes on to ask her question. So my question, if she were sitting here today, would be, how is a person saved? What does the Bible say? Are they saved by actively pursuing the Lord, reading scripture and prayer? No, that's how we grow as a Christian. That's not how we're saved. We're saved by putting our faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Mm-hmm. So she already answered her own question. If a person, as she describes them, truly believes That's how we're saved,
yeah.
is by truly believing. Now, is it possible for someone to truly believe and not apply themselves to the study of the word and prayer and stuff? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Is it good for that person?
No.
No.
It's not. And they're not going to grow. Right. They're not going to be transformed like they should be. They're not going to see that kind of transformation. But yeah, they can be saved. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
And finally, Angela says, you've mentioned that 2 Corinthians 13:5 tells believers to examine yourselves or test yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Yeah. I would appreciate your guidance on how we are meant to do this in a healthy, biblical way. What does self-examination look like in practice, and how can we do it without falling into fear or doubt? That's a good question.
It is a good question. Again, it comes back to the simple question, how are we saved? Yeah. Paul says mm-hmm. to test yourself to see if you're in the faith. He says, test yourself to see if you have faith. Do you truly have confidence in the finished work of Jesus on the cross? He's not telling you to test yourself on how good of a Christian you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
Most believers are going to give themselves a failing grade.
Yeah.
We're very hard on ourselves. And the people mm-hmm. that I talk to often are caught usually in that sort of a deal of thinking that it's their job to judge their works, mm-hmm. as it were. And they end up coming up wanting, and then they go, well, maybe I'm not saved. Maybe I never actually put my faith in Jesus in the first place.
And that's where the fear or doubt comes in.
That's where the fear or doubt comes in, exactly. Mm-hmm. When we start being the judge of our lives.
It depends on what you're examining.
Yeah. You know, because we look at our lives, and then, of course, the enemy loves to accuse, you know. Mm-hmm. So somebody gets this idea wrong. They think that examining themselves means looking at every aspect of their lives, and they start realizing, well, there's still some area. I've got some areas that are pretty ungodly. And then the enemy jumps into that conversation and mm-hmm. says, yeah, in fact, I don't think a real Christian would do the things that you do. And pretty soon you're in a tailspin
mm-hmm.
and you're wondering whether or not you're really saved. Mm-hmm. Paul says, test yourself to see if you're in the faith. See if your faith is strong. It's all about your faith in the finished work mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ. Test yourself to see, are you really, truly trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or are you trusting in something else? Are you trusting in good works? Are you trusting in other religious things, mm-hmm. right? You know, test yourself. Is it all about Jesus, or is it Jesus plus something else?
Right.
Jesus plus going to church, Jesus plus doing good deeds. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Test yourself. See mm-hmm. if it's Jesus only, because that's how we're saved.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's really the whole deal here. People can save themselves so much grief by just refusing to look inward all the time.
Right.
You know, when we take inventory of our hearts, we're going to see darkness.
Mm-hmm.
There's darkness in there. And if you start fixating on that darkness, and then the enemy, as I say, gets a hold of that fixation, you're going to go, it's a downhill slide very fast. You are to keep your eyes on Jesus as the author and finisher right. of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where joy comes from, in recognizing it's what he did, and I've put my faith completely in what he did for me.
So let's boil this down to one sentence.
All right.
I'm going to ask you to give me one sentence that answers her question. How are we meant to examine ourselves in a healthy, biblical way?
Examine your faith. Examine your confidence. That's the biblical way to examine yourself.
I asked for one sentence.
I know, but I'm a pastor.
And you're such a teacher.
That's right. I'm a pastor. We don't do things in one sentence.
No, you don't. I'll give you another chance again sometime.
Yeah, good. So is that it?
That is it. That's the last
question. That was a shorter one for this time.
Yep.
We've got more questions, though, and we'll show you here at the end of this video how you can send us your questions as well. So anyway, thanks so much for joining us today, and we look forward to having you with us next time. God bless.